It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Please, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
But man, we're starting to get a little agitated. Little bit of agitation going on. This is a psyop. This is a battle for your mind. It always has been. The only consolation that I get is that the man had to spend so much money, trillions of dollars in propaganda, in media, in public education, and whatever they got to do to get extracted from you and if not smiling about it, at least not getting pitchforks and torches. Well, there's another one that we started reporting on. Oh, man, it was at least a year and a half ago. I want to tell you this. So hopefully we're getting Jesse Benton from Campaign for Liberty is going to be calling in this hour. And when he gets on the network, go ahead and just let me know that he's there. But the one thing that I wanted to make sure that we talked about is Marvel Comics. Marvel Comics, the Marvel Universe, this is the Hulk and Iron Man and Spider-Man and Captain America and all that kind of stuff, okay? This is a powerful tool. Now, remember, back in World War II, Captain America was kicking Nazi butt. You know, this has been a powerful medium for a lot of things. For a younger generation, it was very popular in the 50s, 40s, 50s, 30s, Superman, all this stuff. What happened was about a year and a half, 2 years ago, there was a contract done between Marvel Comics and the United Nations. What they're doing is they're taking the Marvel Universe, and remember, Iron Man came out, big hit, popular, loved that movie. Cool, very cool. Individual's got all kinds of goodies he's going to, you know, rid the world of. Iron Man 2 is coming out. Let me tell you what I guarantee. Iron Man 2 is going to have, well, you can't have that kind of power in the hands of just individuals. You got to put it in the hands of the government. You got to work for the government. Or, if they're not good enough, to corrupt a little secret kind of government. You know, see what I mean? A little super friend club. So here comes the Hulk. Now, Stark Industries, which was the guy that did the Iron Man, you know, remember he's meeting with the general that was the father of the girlfriend of the Hulk, you know, at the end of the movie. See, this is all getting tied together. Here it comes. But a lot of people don't know is that even before all that, Marvel Comics did a deal with the United Nations where they sent out comic books that was a test, and they were going to translate it into gazillion languages to where it's kind of, you know, warm and fuzzy, we love United Nations. Then you had the G.I. Joe movie that came out, kind of an international G.I. Joe, you know, it stood for global blah, 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 whatever it is. This is a psyop. This is how this stuff is done. Well, now what do they have? Marvel Comics' Captain America is the mightiest soldier with a super powerful secret soldier formula that makes him a Superman. Sadly, this muscle-bound hero that took on the whole Nazi army during World War II seems to be afraid of those American people who've joined the Tea Party movement. Not only is Cappy quaking in his little red booties, but he's sure that the Tea Party folks are dangerous racists, too. Isn't it wonderful that a decades-old American comic book hero is now being used to turn readers against our very political system, being used to slander folks that are standing up for real American principles in real life, and one called Captain America at that? In issue number 602 of Captain America, a new storyline has begun called Two Americas. In it, the current captain, there have been a few of them apparently, is on the trail of a fox captain America, a fake one, that is mentally deranged and getting chummy with some white supremacist, anti-government, survivalist types going by the name of the Watchdogs. While investigating the subversive group, Captain America and his partner, the Falcon, a black superhero, have decided to try and infiltrate the secretive organization. In preparation for the infiltration, Marvel Comics depicts the two superheroes out of costume, observing from a rooftop, a street filled with what can only be described as a Tea Party protest. The screen shows crowds of people in city streets carrying signs that say, "Stop the socialist, teabag libs before they teabag you, then no new taxes." Naturally, the people in these crowds are depicted as being filled with nothing but white folk. The black character asks the out-of-costume captain, "What the hell is this?" and follows that with, looks like some kind of anti-tax protest. A Falcon character then suddenly tells his partner, the captain, "So I guess the whole hate the government vibe around here isn't limited to the Watchdogs." Blah, 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 blah. It might as well have been sanctioned by what? UN, federal government, Obama administration, some kind of, it's always divide and conquer kind of deal. And I'm telling you, Captain, because if you're familiar with the Marvel Universe, and I'm telling you, I wasn't until this UN thing started. When the UN contract kind of deal, the news release, we did it on Freedom's Phoenix. God, it must have been at least a year and a half, 2 years ago. I'm going, oh, I see this coming. Because I remember, you know, it was the big thing that when they have super friends and all this kind of stuff, when they did the Marvel Universe, whenever they get them all together, whenever this is finally rolled out, when you got Spider-Man and you got whichever one's the most popular at the time, Iron Man, the Hulk, all this kind of stuff comes out, sooner or later, when it's right timing, when Super Bowl time, when it's the appropriate time, will come Captain Freaking America, and he's going to tell you what's what. Here it comes, here it freaking comes, and this is not a secret. You know, just do a Google search here. Let's see, is it Marvel Comics United Nations, and what does it say? Okay, UN joining forces with Spider-Man, okay? Team up with UN to team up with Marvel Comics. You know, this is not secret stuff. This has been going around. When was this? December of 2007. Okay, you get it? December 2007. Let's just take a look, read the article, UN to team up with Marvel Comics. Let's see. He has fought against foes ranging from the Green Goblin to Dr. Octopus, what's his name? But Spider-Man now faces an even more formidable challenge in improving the battered image of the United Nations. In a move reminiscent of storylines developed during the World War II, the UN is joining forces with Marvel Comics, creators of Spider-Man and the Incredible Hulk, to create a comic book showing the international body working with superheroes to solve bloody conflicts and rid the world of disease. you think I make this stuff up? Here we have UN to team up with Marvel Comics, and then what's the picture? You have the United Nations guy and Tony Blair. Hello, you start to get it. Marvel Comics and the United Nations are teaming up to create comic books to show superheroes working with the agency to rid the world of conflict and disease. United Nations and Marvel Comics are working together to develop a comic book set in a fictional war-torn country with superheroes working alongside UNICEF, aid workers, and UN peacekeepers, the Financial Times said Thursday. Camellia Ship, whoever that is, with the United Nations Office for Partnerships, told the Times the pro bono artist and collaborators would deliver a final script by February. A French filmmaker, Ramoud Skoura, whoever that is, presented the idea while working with United Nations officials to develop a DVD about UN activities targeted for school-age children. The United Nations hopes to bolster its international image damaged by the unilateral diplomatic efforts of some Western countries by teaching children the value of international cooperation. The United Nations said it will, brought up a window here my way. The United Nations said it will distribute the comics to nearly 1 million U.S. children initially, but hopes to reach a broader international audience following the initial release. There was a similar initiative during World War II when Marvel Comics Captain America was pitted against Germany's Adolf Hitler. It's just same old, same old, same old, same old. Here it comes. It's a psyop. Don't you understand? It's all about getting you to just think warm fuzzies. This is old. Here we go. So what are they doing now? Well, same old stuff. You know, I mean, you know, what else is new? We got the Marvel Comics doing whatever the heck it is they do. Captain America says tea parties are dangerous and racist. Why? Because they can. You know, because they can. So they are. What's the response? I don't know. It's on Freedom's Phoenix. We'll be right back.
There are those that just want to be left alone. And those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Lunatic friends, you know, they're not just out there. They're in here. I got Andrew Strimmick has come by, and he's a local activist. He and his wife have been, you know, having all kinds of fun. And, you know, they were, what's a really good project that they did when Obama came and spoke at Arizona State University's graduation for the few weeks building up to that. They distributed over 17,000 DVDs of the Obama deception, along with Freedom of Fascism on it. And, you know, that just sent them in the shock. They were looking at the day of. What are you going to do the day of? Well, some of the guys were down there. That guy was in the bar. I go, we already did our part. We're done. You know, if I'm not already finished by the time that he gets there, then, you know, I did it wrong. You know, how many minds can we free? When Obama's just right there. And, of course, it, you know, tightens their sphincter, which always is kind of a benefit. I remember L. Neil Smith, he always said, he goes, you when you do this kind of stuff, you just know that you've shortened their life a infinitesimal but gratifying amount. You know, just a little bit of stress. You know, it's all good. So we did our part, and we all keep doing that, and then what happens? Well, you know, I'm Marvel comic thing is just another example. Yeah, this is, how insidious can you get, you know, the school children? Indoctrinating them with comic books. Well, what? You thought they wouldn't? You know, that would be, what, wrong? please. Well, another thing that I want to get you guys on, I need your help on. It's time. Here we go. I want you guys to go ahead and write this down. Here we go. The Bank of International Settlements. Bank of International Settlements. This is why. The Bank of International Settlements, these guys never even blipped my radar until a year and a half ago when I saw just a little blurb on the internet somewhere about they were threatening, you know, we're going to audit the Federal Reserve. And I'm like, really? Who the heck are they? I haven't even heard of these people. Then you have the movie The International, and they kind of allude to that. If you got movies about them, kind of alluding to them, you know the bad guys have moved on somewhere else. that's just another insulative body for them. So I'm going, okay, so who's the Bank International Settlements? When you find out that they kind of got their own little sovereign nation thing in Europe somewhere. I can't remember. It doesn't matter. Switzerland, I think, or whatever. So they got their own little thing. They're like the Vatican or something, and they have, as their members, all the central banks from around the world belong to the International Settlements Bank. So, internationally settling what? I mean, what role do these guys play? I have no idea. So I start checking on it and such, and they keep coming up, and I talk to experts in the field, and I've done a lot of radio shows, and I ask them about it, and I get two responses. One, yes, they kind of know they're there. but they don't know what they do, or they definitely don't want to talk about it. So I'm going, okay. So I'll just keep an eyeball on these guys. So sure enough, you know, here it comes. We start hearing all this stuff about, you know, like Greece. I'm going, all right, well, tell me about Greece. Well, Greece starts imploding. And you read, I started doing some Europe searches. Now, this is what I need your help on. You can do a Google News alert on Bank of International Settlements. Just type in Google, just go Google News alert. Well, anything Bank of International Settlements comes up in the news, boom, it'll go to your email. Okay. Well, I'm limited on time. I mean, I can do it, and I'll do it today, and I'll have, you know, I'll start getting a bunch of this stuff, and we can track them and everything. But there's more to it than that. I'll give you an example. If you go in to Google and you just hit Google Translate, well, it'll come up with all the languages that they'll translate. So, okay, so I want to go in to German. I want to translate German, Italian, French, Spanish. And I go in there and I say, all right, I want to do in French-speaking newspapers what is said about, you know, Banca de International Settlement, whatever the heck it is, okay? So I do that, and all of a sudden this stuff starts coming up. More information than you would get in United States English-speaking newspapers. Because this is a big thing right now, because Greece is about ready to go. Well, Spain's getting ready to go. And you have, you know, Portugal's getting ready to go. I mean, this is, all of a sudden, here it goes. They're falling like dominoes. Well, if I do Bank of International Settlements, great, let's do that. I go Bank of International Settlements. I don't know what they settle, but, you know, they settle stuff. Greece. Let me spell it right. Put it in the news. Okay, here we go. Put it in German. Okay, we'll do German. Deutsche Bank. Let's see what they got to say. Okay, I guess Bloomberg's in Germany and doing some German reporting. Here we go. Germany's banks may have more at risk in Greece, Portugal, and Spain than global counterparts, adding to pressure on Chancellor Merkel to forge a European Union aid package for Greece and avoid contagion, whatever the heck that means. German banks had foreign claims of $330 billion related to the three, blah, 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 blah. Then it goes on, where does it have mention Bank International Settlements? It goes Bank of International Settlements. According to Bank of International Settlements, the number they give a, you know, amount. I go, okay, Bank of International Settlements. Why are they getting their information from them? Well, who are they to be, you know, getting information from? How is that even done? Why them? German banks had foreign claims related to three countries, yada, yada. According to the most recent data from the Bank of International Settlements in Basel, Switzerland. Okay, so that's where they're at. French banks had $306 billion of claims, UK lenders $156 billion, yada, 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 yada. So they're going to do this AIG bailout thing for Greece. How many trillions of dollars you want to bet that central banking day lab, you know, Goldman Sachs or clone of, is sitting there waiting to get their the money when they do this settlement thing, when they do the bailout? Who do you think they're bailing out? See, these are the credit default swaps, the same kind of crap they've been doing here. AIG, remember, we did that. And where did that money go? To bail them out. Then it got took over by the government, another $80 billion or whatever anyway. And it went straight to Goldman Sachs. This is a bank robbery, a continued bank robbery. There's a plumbing mechanism that goes somewhere, and it keeps coming up, this Bank International Settlements. Who are they? Well, they had a secret meeting in Sydney. You know, all the bankers and everything just this last weekend. Okay. Why? Or the secret meeting. And at the same time, they're having a meeting in the Arctic Circle in Canada on an island. That's $2,500 just to get there. So the press is going to Australia and the Arctic Circle. I mean, are we going to get any concentrated effort here reporting? Hello? Are you getting relatively concerned? How much do I got to know that there's something going on here? I'm like, wow. Wow. And then we have that they're going to do what? They're going to start doing a reconciliation of all the credit default swaps through Seed, okay, which is deposit trust company is a, when you go and you do an initial public offering for a stock, for you go public with your company, the actual stock certificates, the owner, the title, you know, they'll chop up little pieces of title to your car. It's like, instead of just having one title, you got, you know, like $1,000 pieces, so you got like $2,000, okay, worth of stock out there or something. You got your, you know, Andrew's 67 Mustang or whatever it is. What year is it?
65.
Ooh, even better. So we have this car, this company, this whatever. You got stock certificates all chopped. They got to go somewhere. So you sit there in this deposit trust company, which is what? A member of the Federal Reserve System. You know, this is all, it's a big, 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 giant worldwide bank robbery, and we're sitting here watching it happen, and nobody understands it. Bank of International Settlements. Go find out something for me. Send me emails, publisher at freedoms, with an S, freedomsphoenix.com.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
I want to break free. I want to break free. I want to break free from your lies. You're so self-satisfied, I don't need you. I've got to break free.
God knows I want to break free here and declare your independence. With me, Ernest Hancock, Andrew Strimick's in. We're rocking and rolling and whatnot. Lots of stuff going on, man. I'm just agitated. I mean, agitated. I went northeast and dealing with the concrete spaghetti jungle out there, and I just, you know, dang. And I haven't been able to relax. Come back, and I mean, dang. There's always something. And I'm just, you know, we're getting ready to rock and roll again, election cycle here. We're getting a lot of remodeling done, doing some work on the website and behind the scenes and doing, getting everything set. Because, I mean, dang, here it comes. Because it's not, when they start taxing food, they're going to, you know, amp the food. Oh, no. We're 4%. Oh, okay, no, we're going to add a food tax here in Phoenix, but we'll only make it 2% because we love you.
I think they're going to definitely go along with the 2% tax. I mean, they're going to try everything they want. That they can get away with. Matter of fact, there was, a meeting on expanding, the freeway system here, and they just keep spending here in Phoenix. They got to keep building stuff and keep spending the money, and,
Because people are so dependent on it. There are certain people that are dependent on government spending. And last night, Barry Hassler, gubernatorial candidate for Libertarians, he called in this on the morning show. He went last night, and he spoke, and he was followed home. I mean, they're like, hello, we're right, and they ain't hiding it either. And he's playing with them, going around, so I don't care. But, the thing is that this is standard operating procedure. And who was there? Hundreds, at least 500 people. Are they against it? No! They're the program, de la whatever. Every one of these people represent a program. And a bunch of their people and programs of the programs and how my starving children dim programs. And then, of course, they say, oh, it's for police. We need more police. We've got to have police. You're going to lay off 500 police. You have police. Oh, well, no, we'd fund police first. And then we'll, sift through the crumbs. And I'm going, the police department is now 70% of the budget. What's the definition of a police state? When the state is the police, I'm going, police, I go straight after it. I'm going, no, we don't need it because they're out. They have to justify their existence or writing tickets. But they don't, service the community and go out and actually even investigate property crimes. Your car gets stolen. They give you a on the phone police report turning to the insurance company. Did you know that Maricopa County here in Arizona, number one auto theft nationwide, number one. Why? I want to be number two. Let's go for number two. What the heck? Let's do number two.
Yeah, we have some of the highest insurance rates in the entire country.
And you know why? it's just more stuff. The one thing I want to read for you is Bank International Settlement thing, man. I don't want to get away from this. And in the second hour, we're going to have a gentleman from South Carolina is going to be calling in. He's because I don't know where Jesse is. There he is. I see he's on the line. Let's go ahead. Hey, Jesse, I got you there?
Yeah, you got me, Ernie.
Okay. Oh, man, don't be a slacker. Okay.
Hey, I got time zones confused. My bad.
Nah, it's all good. This is one thing I want to make sure that we get to right away. This afternoon, right after your segments, we're going to have a gentleman from South Carolina. He's going to talk about what happened with the Tea Party movements there, several factions that kind of got all hooked up with the Republican Party there. And they go, oh, thanks for playing. You're now part of us. You've been assimilated into the Borg. Okay. Resistance is futile. So I want to get from your perspective in dealing with Campaign for Liberty, which is kind of, you know, the Ron Paul thing. I'm sure a lot of revolutionaries went over there. You have a lot of young people. I'm sure a lot of them are operating also inside the Tea Party thing. They give all kinds of kudos and recognition that the Tea Party started with Dr. Paul's effort. And it's kind of interesting. They're kind of pushing that. They went, oh, yeah, the Tea Party. Yeah, it started off with Ron Paul. Ron Paul, we love Ron Paul. And then here comes Sarah Palin. And it's like Tea Party neocon, you know, Tea Party pro-war, Tea Party, we need to continue the drug war, Tea Party. And I'm going, what happened to the Ron Paul part?
Yeah, Ernie, you're right. There's a real identity crisis right now in the Tea Parties. And one of the real strengths of the Tea Parties is that it is a decentralized unit without a lot of central planning going on. But you're seeing a lot of people with a vested interest in trying to centrally plan the Tea Parties, whether it be groups in D.C. or groups in Nashville or other groups around the country. They want to be in control. They want to be in charge, and they want to kind of take over this thing.
They who?
I don't like to name names, Ernie, but some of these people are my friends, but, you know, this Nashville Tea Party convention, the people that put that on, they want to be in control.
Give me an idea. I mean, are they Republican National Committee level, or are they just activists that kind of, you know, we got $10,000 and we're just going to do it and say we're it? Is it, Sarah Palin kind of thing? I mean, what is it?
They're generally conservative activists that are not exactly the Republican Party, but not very distant from the Republican Party. I mean, it makes a lot of sense for them to do that strategically. And I think that a lot of these conservative groups realize that what the Republicans did for, you know, since 1994 have not really been about limited government and about personal liberties. And I think some of these people regret what they did and regret that they were part of not being more hardcore and think that they might do a better job the second time around. I'm a little skeptical about how they might do the second time around.
They're getting sucked right into the exact same thing. After you had the Perot United We Stand phenom back in the day, you all of a sudden, here comes Newt Gingrich going, oh, we're going to do a contract on America. Okay. Well, they did. And what did they eliminate? You know, some tea inspector, $135,000 a year guy. That was it. You know, and I'm going, I mean, seriously, that's what they did. So I'm going, yeah. And here comes the Ron Paul revolution. And now the Tea Party kind of, ooh, we want to get us some of that. Well, the first thing they do is go all neocon. And this whole thing is, I can see war, immigration. No, we're not going to talk about the drug war. And so I'm going, where is the revolution in this thing? Where is Campaign for Liberty? Where is Dr. Paul? What's the association with the Tea Party? How? I mean, how can you even, what? I don't see the link.
Well, what I see is a lot of people that are motivated to come out to the Tea Parties. Okay, the Tea Parties are 10 times as big as the Ron Paul thing. Ron Paul thing, we probably did and still continue to have maybe 2 million people. Big, it's huge. But the Tea Parties, well, you can argue that they're 15, 20 million people. A lot of these people are not, they don't have an ideological rudder. They don't have an ideological compass. What they are is they're concerned and they're angry. But concern and anger does not make a movement. Now, you've got a lot of people from the outside trying to step in and infuse these people with their own ideology, right? So you've got neoconservatives, you've got mainstream Republicans, you've got more mainstream conservatives that are trying to step in and infuse and talk about, okay, well, we want to have limited government, liberty, lower spending, blah, blah, blah. But then they also throw in, you know, the whole war stuff and the some of the social intolerance stuff.
All the more reason that they need to have that philosophical rudder, you know, kind of, you know, hey, yo, what's up? And I appreciate Dr. Paul being, you know, consistent on his own personal views, and they make sure that, you know, MSNBC, they had Rachel Maddow piece we played yesterday, and I think he covered it pretty well. But I'm like, wow, what is the, you know, where do we have the separation? How do we take advantage of this Clear Channel, Fox News, we got the permit for the stage and microphone, they're all ours now, and kind of not at least lie to the activists, the people that are out there starting to come in, that they understand what the real philosophical bent on this activism that is outpouring from Dr. Paul and the Campaign for Liberty. I mean, you dance with the devil, you don't change him. So I'm wondering, where Campaign for Liberty, is it a tool for who to do what?
Here's our outlook. This is what we're trying to do. We think that a lot of what's going on in the Tea Party movement is a good thing, and there's a lot of very good stuff there. The fact that people are recognizing and what they're getting out of Washington sucks is a good thing. We are not gonna dance arm in arm with the Tea Party movement. We are gonna continue to do our own thing and be hardcore, try to educate people, and when it works and makes sense, we're going to attend tea parties, talk to people, try to educate them, and try to get them on the same page with us, much like the more mainstream, the Republicans or the neoconservatives are trying to do. We're going to talk to them about, yeah, you're right. You're right on the fiscal stuff, on the economic liberty. You got the right ideas. Now let us tell you about real liberty in civil liberties, and let's talk about a real common sense pro-American foreign policy where we avoid entangling alliances and don't try to please the world. You know, we're going to continue to do that, and I think, again, a lot of these people that are new into politics and are there, they're motivated by outrage about what they're getting out of Washington. I think there is room to educate these people, to work with these people, but we have to keep our eyes open that a lot of these people are not coming to this movement because of that, and they're going to need education, and a lot of them we're not going to reach. Now, we can grow our movement, we can spread this message, we can use it as a tool. We also have to keep our eyes wide open about what's going on with a lot of these other people that are trying to infiltrate.
Okay,
they're doing
the same
thing.
When we come back, we're going to talk about other people. What other people? We're going to find out when we come back here on Declare Your
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
It's not just I feel some stuff, bad stuff going on. We'll get back to this Bank International Settlements thing a little bit, but I'll put it up, you know, oh, man, there's lots of good stuff going on. But we got Jesse Benton from Campaign for Liberty, and he's grandson-in-law of Dr. Ron Paul and, you know, a trusted sidekick, I am certain. Jesse, you know, tell us what's going on with the forces of evil that we're dealing with on a national level. That's because if we didn't have Campaign for Liberty and Dr. Paul in there influencing this Tea Party thing, I already know where to go. But I'm just wondering what kind of influence you do have.
You know, I think we got quite a bit. Our people are very involved with tea parties all over the country, and Ron has continued to be invited to tea parties. You know, the thing about the Tea Party movement is we have to realize just how fractured and how decentralized it is, and that is a very good thing.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a very, very good thing. I mean, Ernie, you know better than anybody else that centralized planning of anything doesn't work, especially in activism, and that's one of the reasons why you're so effective. You do your thing, and you invite people to participate. You train other people to do your thing, and in the model that you espouse, and then you let them go and do it. But the Tea Party movement is very decentralized. We need to realize that we can work with a lot of these people. We can educate them. We can bring them our way a lot of times. We have to realize we're not going to do that with everybody or probably even the majority.
Well, this isn't. Tell me what you
know.
Some
of these people are going to end up, going along with the neoconservatives, and then we're going to have to go ahead and probably fight them.
Well, let me tell you, ask you what you know what's going on in South Carolina. At the top of the hour, I have a gentleman that was part of one of the Tea Party groups, and I had them and Chris from one of the meetup guys in South Carolina. You remember when we went to South Carolina? Lots of signs, kid. We got all crazy, stupid, and had all kinds of fun. And they stay in touch with me. And one of the meetups there goes, I was in Philadelphia back when I met with Dr. Paul last week. I got a phone call from him, and they said, hey, We're doing this Tea Party thing, bring it together, and we're going to go and talk Republican Party and turn it over, and we can go and coalesce, and we'll be one big giant and go and, you know, kick butt. And I go, don't do it. Mm-hmm. Don't do it. I'm telling you, you know, be a resource, help them, whatever, because I'll guarantee you what the RNC wanted. They want databases. They want emails. They want phone numbers. And once they get that stuff, goodbye. Thanks for playing. We don't need you anymore.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Look, I think there are a lot of Tea Party people out there, some Campaign for Liberty, a lot of Campaign for Liberty people out there that are willing to work with the Republican Party, want to work through the Republican Party, and that I think that Dr. Paul proves that that can be a successful strategy. I personally take that road myself. However, you got to look at the leaders in the party that you're working with, and if you look at a lot of these leaders in the Republican Party, if they were there and they helped lead us over the cliff with Bush, then we need to get rid of them, and we need to not work with the Republican Party until we replace them in certain areas. I think that a lot of that leadership in South Carolina were the same people that led us, again, over the cliff with Bush, led us into all these needless, undeclared, unconstitutional wars. And led us to a doubling of the size of the Department of Education, led us to the Patriot Act, led us to an immense, sickening expansion of our debt. And, if these people are going to work with the Republican Party, they need to say, okay, well, we're going to need some new leadership. We're going to need proof that this party's going in a different direction. Now, Ernie, you don't even want to work with party hacks at all. So a lot of people should take a different stance, and the fact that they can't get everybody to work with them, I think, is a very positive thing.
My thing is, you know, voting is a side effect of a change in the culture. I'm like, you know, still voting. I mean, I don't even vote anymore. I know better. But the thing, and it goes on and on. I don't trust computers. We saw so much happen just with Dr. Paul's campaign that I got enough evidence just from that. Okay. Mm-hmm. So the thing is, though, is that there is an enormous amount of education and a cultural awakening and change where the side effect is political change if you focus on people understanding the philosophy of which Dr. Paul was very, very instrumental in making sure that millions of minds got freed. That is the win. I don't give a crap what the government computer vote totals say. It's how many minds were freed to the point that now they have I don't know if you heard, we have an article on Freedom's Phoenix today. Marvel Comics has Captain America coming out and the Falcon, which is one of the black superheroes there. Captain America, Marvel comic book, coming out against the Tea Parties.
Wow.
You know, this anti-American kind of, well, a year and a half, 2 years ago, the United Nations and Marvel Comics has a millions of comic books in support of Spider-Man supporting the United Nations. You know, this is, here we go. And we got Iron Man, very popular. The second one's coming out. How much you want to bet the Iron Man gets turned over into some kind of collective government control and super friends, you know, for, you know, worldwide domination of whatever.
Well, Ernie, I think you're making a real point. I mean, of course, for a long time, Captain America was there to fight communists, right? You're right. We need to focus. I think we need to focus on political change, but we also at least just as much have to focus on education and social cultural change. You know, we need to permeate our message into popular culture. We need to permeate it into classrooms. We need to have groups of people meeting to read philosophy. I mean, just a simple thing like handing out 10 copies of Bastiat's The Law to 10 of your neighbors. Get them to read that as an introduction to what real liberty is and where rights and government come from and what they can do. Until we start to do that, any political action we take is pointless.
No, I'm with you, brother. That's what we're doing. We had 50,000 blank DVDs donated to us a couple of weeks ago. Guess what we're doing with them? Freedom to Fascism, For Liberty movie, and, you know, the Ron Paul documentary, and Obama Deception is a popular one also. And we have a bunch of other stuff that we have, probably, you know, dozens of different movies in our duplicators that we just mass produce these. And they go out. I went back east, probably, you know, 200 times, 4 times, 800 different DVDs in 4 different locations that we put out, people, just to spread this out. And I just sent 200 to South Carolina to these guys at Tea Party, said, get this stuff out. But what the heck? You guys, I am sorry. I just want to slap these guys around. What did you think was going to happen? Quit trying to be part of a larger collective though this big giant Republican Party collective is not the same as a Democratic Party collective. Heck, you get high enough on the pyramid, it's the same people controlling both sides. And if you're in the Beltway in Washington there, Jesse, man, tell me that I'm wrong. I mean, are we at the special interest controlling both sides or what?
Well, we really do. We really do, Ernie. And congratulations on I applaud what you're doing. I think that I applaud what you and some other people do. I think we need to take a real aggressive approach and fire all bullets and how we can educate people. You know, I get amazed at how many people come up and say that, you know, it's freedom to fascism. Watching that, that first kind of shook them up and had them take a different look at things. I hear people come up and say that it's listening to people like you on the radio. I've personally probably heard a dozen people around the country tell me that, well, it was Ernie Hancock that first made me look and reexamine things. You know, we got to do that. It's got to be a cultural change until we really start to educate people. And I think, again, we need to fire all bullets in our gun to get different tools out there to educate people. Until we do that, you're right. The special interests are going to run both parties, and we're going to get a lot more crap.
Yeah, no, I'm with you guys. I'm on it. You know, the thing is, I think Dr. Paul probably assumed that I paid attention to the little ouch-quit-it inside the Campaign for Liberty or campaigns, all that stuff more than I do. Whatever. I don't care. You know, I really don't, because what he's doing when he gets on Fox News or he gets on CNN or MSNBC or he gets on and he sits there and the words come out of his mouth, all true, good, done. That's what I, all the little collective and how many clubs I can join and all, don't care. How many minds can I free? And his speech that he gave on the State of the Republic, I am so going to rip that off.
Oh, hey, please do. Any time we can get that message out there, please, please do.
You know, and the influence, you know, I want to introduce you to Andrew Stemmick. He's on the board today. He and his wife, they're young, in their mid-20s and so on. They were so much in a part of this Loveolution that I give you. You have anything you want to say, Andrew, or a question you want to ask?
Well, you know, the two-party thing is a really interesting thing. As a matter of fact, I've been talking about it with a lot of my friends and colleagues, you know, about just, you know, what we need to do. I mean, I look at, and it's literally to me is a nice little concentrated area to drop little information packets on. And, you know, that's why I like going out there and drop off DVDs to this thing. I really believe, just like Ernie, you know, I really come from that perspective that it's not about taking back the Tea Party, but it's about just educating the people there. You know, it's just like, you know, the Communist Revolution, you know, they got the hold of it. You know, it's going to be like hard to get away from them. But what we can do is go in there and educate people and bring people over to the philosophy, libertarian philosophy, or the ideas of liberty.
The injection,
yeah, right on, brother, right on.
The injection of the libertarian infection into the bone marrow of American politics, for which there is no cure, and that's what we're doing. And the thing is that Dr. Paul has been an enormous needle, boom, into the marrow.
I've heard, you know, I want to get your opinion on this, but I've heard people talking about, oh, what we need is a coffee party. And to me, it's just like, that's just another organization that could end up the same way. What do you think?
You know, I think different organizations are kind of irrelevant. A coffee party, I don't know. Yeah, you're right. It's about minds, as Ernie says. And how can we free the most minds? I hear the music, so I'll shut my mouth.
Hey, you know, well, we got about a minute, but I, you know, Jesse, thanks for coming on. You know, give out whatever webpage you want people to go to. Here's your chance, man.
Hey, campaignforliberty.com. Come check us out. Also, all you out there, Rand Paul is, we have a chance to elect the best constitutional conservative / small L libertarian in the Senate in the decade. If you guys are interested in political action, check him out, randpaul2010.com.
randpaul2010.com, campaignforliberty.com or org?
Com.
campaignforliberty.com. You know, this is, I'm with you guys, man. Let's go whip ass. Because it's how many minds can we free? Because if we don't change this culture, you're not going to get anything else. Vote totals, political support, activism is a side effect of butt whipping. Let's do some butt whipping. Thanks for coming on, Jesse. I appreciate
it. Hey, you're a real hero in my book, brother.
Hey, thanks, man. Jesse Benton, Campaign for Liberty. We're right back.